Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, do you know how many big political ideas have started at the dinner table of my friend Bill Press? I mean, it's like more than the Last Supper. It is extraordinary. Bill has been one of the leading progressive voices in the country. So I'm glad he's still out there on the left, stronger than ever. Right now, he is using that progressive voice in the Bill Press Pod. The Bill Press Pod is up twice a week, an in-depth interview with a major newsmaker on Tuesday, plus his lively end-of-the-week roundtable with 3 of Washington's top political reporters, digging deep on the latest craziness from the GOP, the massive voter suppression bills in the states, and the Democrats fighting to keep control of Congress in 2022. I encourage you, join me in subscribing to the Bill Press Pod. It is a must listen for all progressives. To sign up, just go to wherever you get your podcast, click on subscribe, and tell your friends to do the same. Take it from me, I follow the Bill Press Pod, and you should too. Wow, time for happy hour, everybody. Hey, we have range in this happy hour. We have Katie Hill talking about what a fuckstick Matt Gaetz is. Everyone to Rosie O'Donnell talking about what a fuckstick Donald Trump is.
Mm-hmm.
What's the common theme? Fucksticks. Say it with me, kids.
Fucksticks.
Thank you. Okay. These are two amazing powerhouse women. Oh my God, I just spit on myself. I'm so excited. You know how excited I get. Okay.
Yes.
Katie Hill, as you know, should still be in part. She's on my list of things I will die mad about. Hillary.
Yeah.
Russia, this country did to Hillary. Okay. And then Katie Hill should still be in Congress. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she'll talk about how skeevy it is. Matt Gaetz defended her and why.
It's weird.
I just put up splash guard if you want to projectile vomit, thinking about Matt Gaetz's giant forehead coming at you while he's trying to. Okay. And then Rosie, what's the rule, Chris? If you do a bad interview with Rosie, you suck and need to get out of show business immediately. I will share my technique. Rosie, what do you think about fill in the blank? And you literally can just say that, and then she will take it from there, because she's Rosie, for God's sakes.
There's also discussion with Rosie of lemons being hidden in hoo-haws, which, you know what, you don't get that everywhere.
I'm not going to tell you who's hoo-ha, but you're going to want to hear this.
Listen.
You're going to want to hear this. Okay, let's do it. Happy hour. I don't often pull something down off my wall with my bony little arms, but I did this for our next guest, who I love so much. Okay. Let's see. This was from Melissa Etheridge the day I came out on the radio. I don't know how many years ago that was. She writes, "Dearest Stephanie, well, well, sister, welcome to the world of being out. I'm just warning you that now you've made it. Now that you have made it public, every time something happens with Prop 8 or some senator gets caught in an airport stall, they're going to call you."
You know, Melissa Etheridge was she was one of my first concerts.
Oh, my God. Oh, I haven't introduced you yet. You're not. Former Representative Katie Hill is here. Hi, Katie Hill.
Hello.
This damn Zoom. I couldn't give you a big.
My friend, I just have to tell the story really quick about, since you brought up Melissa Etheridge. My friend, we were probably 12 or 13 years old. We were young.
Yes.
And she was my best friend. And I don't know if her parents knew what Melissa Etheridge was known for, but like, you know, so they took us to this concert. Like they dropped us off. Okay. So maybe we were 14 or so.
Yeah.
So they dropped us off and we felt like we were these, you know, super big adultish kids or whatever. And then, you know, people thought that we were these little lesbians, like this little lesbian couple.
Aww.
And we just got so much attention from that. And then we got out and we're like, I don't think her parents have any idea that this is what this is. And we're not lesbians. I mean, she's still my best friend,
right.
But she's very straight.
Right. Listen, I don't judge. All that story did is remind me that I'm 1,000 years older than you. So thank you very much for that. And okay. Can I have my butter commercial music? See, this is what happens with Zoom is I can't do a big entrance because you're already here. And okay.
Yeah.
It's former Representative Katie Hill of the great state of California. Okay. Can I still call you representative? Because you are on the list of things I will die mad about. Hillary and then you. What happened to you? What happened to Hillary Clinton? Die mad. Because you earned it.
If I lumped in with her, I feel fine about it. But yes, my title remains. If you would like to use it, you're welcome to.
I would like to use it. It's a respect that you are entitled to. And so, yeah, and should still be in Congress. I won't go there. Okay. Let me just bite my own hand while I, first of all, I joked with the Melissa Etheridge thing, but you wrote a great piece about this. And I, this is why I really appreciate you've been on the Happy Hour and I've talked to you before about how I admire your bravery and your honesty and the fact that you're doing this morning and that you've been on TV, because you said, since I resigned from Congress, I've gotten used to my phone blowing up whenever another politician is accused of sexual misconduct, including your mom calling and saying, I love you, I hope you're okay, knowing that you're not okay, because it brings up everything again. You said the messages stop after a few days when the accused man defiantly stays in office. The press, the public, the politicians themselves move on to things like the behavior of Joe Biden's dogs. I'm always advised by those closest to me not to weigh in on these situations. If I say anything whatsoever, people like Ben Shapiro will inevitably share it with a comment. Sexual predator Katie Hill says what? Or shouldn't you be naked smoking a bong or nailing some staff? That's when the trolls start reposting the pictures of me that were shared without my consent. And the whole nightmare starts over again, right? And yet, share why you've chosen to speak out anyway, because I think it's really important with Matt Gaetz, because you were the victim of what he's, you know, accused of being the perpetrator of, revenge porn, basically.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the accusations that he slept with a 17-year-old girl, that he was involved in sex trafficking, prostitution, any of that kind of stuff, that was horrible. But I was, you know, I was in the boat of, wait for the investigation. The feds are already on it. You know, I don't feel the need to say anything, but I had been so he had publicly defended me. I had, when, you know, this whole Nestor thing happened, I had said, I knew about Nestor before, like, you know, let's not go places that we shouldn't go. In hindsight, I don't fucking know.
Yay. Katie Hill dropped an S bomb. No, an F bomb. Katie Hill has dropped an F bomb on the show. All right.
That was my if. Oops.
Just to review, Katie says she doesn't know. Okay. please continue while we
recall. But anyway, when it came out that multiple people had said that he was sharing photos, naked photos of women that he'd slept with on the house floor, then that was when my like head exploded. And I was like, literally that day, I started typing this op-ed. And I just felt like I had to weigh in, because he had defended me when, you know, the revenge porn happened to me. Yeah. And then it looks like, you know, according to the, you know, the reporting, that he was doing that very thing around the same time that my stuff was happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just, it just like, I was just like, I can't even, I just have to say something. Yeah. And it was, you know, cathartic, I think, to write that op-ed. But it was just a, you know, it's just
well, and Katie,
infuriating.
Yeah, absolutely infuriating. And also, I think you've talked about that it kind of skeeves you out now about why he defended you. Like I said this yesterday on the show that, you know, he's probably thinking, oh, you're a wild child like me. So I'm going to, you know, like, and yours is nothing like his.
No.
Having sex with underage people and paying them and whatever, allegedly, do you know what I'm saying, is nothing like having a consensual affair with someone, you know, granted, you've said it was a mistake. She was on my staff, but it is nothing.
She was a consenting adult. And like,
yes,
you know, it was not good judgment. I will, you know, admit that till the day I die, but it was not something that was illegal. It was not something that was, you know.
You said something incredibly funny on TV the other day, though. You said you being friends with Matt Gaetz was another example of your horrible taste in men. And so I just thought that was hilarious. And I just I have more of a chance of pulling her fully to my side.
No, but my mom was like, my mom said, you know, I wrote this in the op-ed, but she's like, Katie, you better not sleep with him. And I'm like, I was not going to sleep with him, but thank God that never, you know, obviously.
My judgment's not that bad, but
yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, it is kind of skeevy, right? When you look back on it now going, oh, why did he defend me? Because of his lifestyle, maybe he thought I was like him, and you're not like him.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, you hear about this points thing, right?
Right.
And that he had before, and I don't know if that was something that was ongoing, but I'm like, what if he was just being nice to me the whole time to, you know,
the thing in Florida about sleeping with fellow female legislators, if that's what his whole, I'm with your mom. I need to meet your mom. Your mom sounds great. And she was like, I don't trust him, Katie. I don't think you should be defending him. She was right.
Yeah. That's what she said. My mom's pretty much always right. I can't really think of a time that she's not been right.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you said it best on Twitter. You said, hot take, revenge porn, illegally shared images cannot be considered in the public interest in any circumstance. If that's the precedent, countless women will be afraid to run for office because they have the exes. Thank you. If you have any, but I mean, also, I don't know if his would be called revenge, Katie, or brag porn. It doesn't matter. It's not okay to share images, private images of someone that hasn't given you permission, right?
That's the point, right? And it doesn't matter if that person is, you know, just a random woman who has shared images with you on her own and because you've, you know, had a good time together or we're seeing each other or whatever.
Right.
Or if it's some, you know, out of revenge, it just doesn't matter if it's private images. And by the way, like this can happen. I often see people kind of do a little bit of victim blaming where they say, oh, well, you should know better. You shouldn't take these pictures, shouldn't send these pictures. Yeah. Everyone should know that. But one, that's crap anyway. Mm-hmm. But two, the pictures of me were ones that I didn't even know existed. They're not ones that I took and sent. They were ones that were taken of me.
Right.
And that is something that can easily happen to you know, men and women, but certainly the majority is women. And think of how easy it is for someone to snap a picture while you're getting into the shower or, you know, laying in bed, not paying attention. I mean, it's just our phones are so small and, you know, we're on them all the time and you're not paying attention to what somebody's doing. And it's just, nobody should act like this is something that can be prevented just because you're not sexting.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a story. I swear I'm not sharing it with you because of sexual fluidity, but I have a really super hot friend.
Stephanie
Louise Miller.
This relates, Katie. I have a super hot friend who was married with kids. She has two little kids. Well, she's divorced now. She might be a little fluid, but my friend and I were saying like, oh my God, you look so great. She said two kids and you have such an amazing body, blah, blah, blah. She goes, oh, do you want me to send you a naked picture? And I was like, yes.
Computer 13.
Yes, I do. God. Yes, I do. No, you know, like,
permission.
No, but we were at a party and I thought I was just kidding. And then I got home and I was like, oh crap, she did it. Oh God, she's so hot. But like, I knew not to share it with anybody, like even though she sent it. And she was, you know, and by the way, if my body looked like that, I'd be sending them to everybody unsolicited.
No, I mean, part of me, you know, my like conclusion out of this, and especially my lawsuit, now that literally a California judge ruled that it's the First Amendment for the Daily Mail to have shared my images that they were obtained through revenge porn. Basically they're saying that that's fine because I was a public figure. And so that means that anybody who enters public life in any way is opening themselves up to it. And so I was like, well, shoot, maybe the requirement should be if you were gonna enter public life, just put out your naked pics, do it on your own terms. And maybe that's the best bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not advising people to do that, but it just was.
No, but it's, I felt violated on your behalf, on everybody's behalf this happens to. I mean, it's just creepy. I mean, I don't know if you were quoting somebody here, you said in 2021, a woman deciding to engage in consensual sexual activity is somehow a mark against her morality, but a man sharing images of women without their consent on the House floor is not grounds for his immediate removal from office or resignation. I don't know if you were quoting from something, but
yeah, it's from that article, that Refinery 29 article, but
I mean, how insane does that make you? Not just the double standard with men and women, but Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, it drives me nuts. I mean, it's, you know, the double standards between both are just astonishing, right? I keep thinking about Liz Cheney, who has gotten so much crap from Matt Gaetz. And, you know, I mean, he went and campaigned against her in her own state that he had nothing to do with. And I'm like, why isn't she at least calling for his removal? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, at least, and again, I don't know, you know, where everyone stands on Cuomo. Everyone's all over the place on it. But like, there's multiple different, accusations. It's, what I look at is like, is there a pattern, right? If a one-off kind of accusation is a one-off, and we have to, you know, let that play out or whatever. But when you have a pattern, it's a different situation. And so with Cuomo, at least the Democrats were calling for it. We're saying that, you know, leadership, congressional leadership, people from his own state, the leadership in his own state were saying, dude, you shouldn't be leading us in this case. But Republicans don't even do that. And it just blows my mind. I mean, this guy, Matt Gaetz, is on judiciary, which means that the committee he's on is overseeing the department that's investigating it.
Yeah.
And that's just bonkers.
But
at the very least, his own party should remove him from that committee preemptively.
Okay, I've said that before. They've all followed the Donald Trump template on the Republican side. It goes fake news, lying whores, I'm not resigning or apologizing. And they all run the same play. And it's just,
because it worked. You know, Donald Trump proved that it worked for, you know, however long. I mean, he lost the election, thank God.
And you said it took a while. I'm glad to see the Ethics Committee finally open an investigation here. I sure hope they figure out which other members were gawking at those photos that didn't say anything for so long. And Katie, if they're underage, isn't that they're looking at child porn, basically?
Yeah. I mean, I really hope that that's not the case, that that's not what was happening. I sincerely hope that, you know, no one's stupid enough to do that, but. Or disgusting enough, but I
wish you would have said that to you. No. Would you like to see some pictures? You're like, no, but I would shove this phone up your ass if you would.
Stephanie.
Katie Hill would have said that because she is my hero. But Matt Gaetz would be dumb enough to ask Katie Hill if she'd like to see some revenge porn.
Yeah.
He's such a dumb. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I bet your former friend. You quoted Juan Williams on Twitter, the GOP is now the party of grifters and kooks. And you said, I mean, yeah, but it's been that way for quite a while now. I mean, John Boehner's out there saying all this stuff. And I'm like, you started all this. That doesn't happen overnight.
When we're like, wow, John Boehner's like the normal guy. It just is disturbing.
I call him Boehner because I'm much more immature.
I like that.
You know, I'm like 20 years older than you, but I feel like I could mentor you and help you to make different, more mature mistakes. Like
bad
I have
choices.
What? Yes, yeah. I could help you make different bad choices. Because you're only young once, but you can be immature literally forever. And you said I might be having a bad week, but I just got my J&J, so bring it on. However, now they put a pause on J&J.
I know, and I have a family history of blood clots. I'm in the age range of the people who are having the women who are having the reactions. And I was supposed to fly home in a week. And so now I'm like, my mom, you know, again, my mom is a nurse and is very concerned about my well-being. And she's like, you shouldn't fly. So
yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't actually. I would err on the side of caution, but I think it's going to be fine. We were saying these numbers are so infinitesimal, and it does worry me about that we're already hitting a vaccine hesitancy wall. That, you know, it is unfortunate in that sense, because I think we've got to get to herd immunity. I mean, it's so, isn't it just so distressing that we're just hitting this wall of ignorance?
Well, and especially people because we've got, you know, people are going to start going out. They're going to feel safe.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if we don't hit herd immunity, if we don't have enough people who are vaccinated, then it's like, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, when this COVID's over, we're totally becoming best friends and, you know, totally going to make all new mistakes. It's going to be fantastic.
Perfect. I
adore you, Representative. I will call you Representative forever because you earned it. Okay. And I hope you're back in there because you've got courage. And thank you for speaking out and doing this, because I know this isn't easy and it brings up a lot of stuff for you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
I appreciate it.
All right.
It's good to talk to you.
You too. We miss you, Katie.
Yay. Let me just start by saying, holy shit, we got Rosie O'Donnell. Oh my God, I feel like I'm in Les Miserables. We have been pursuing you, Rosie O'Donnell, for 10 years.
Well, I did your interview show once, didn't I? I did it with you and John.
Yeah, but you were going to come do some dates with us for Sexy Liberal. We've been,
yeah,
oh my God.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, it's like you fucking stole bread from Sexy Liberal. That's how I've been pursuing you, in a Les Miserables type of ferocity.
I understand.
You've been, as you know, my hero forever. I mean, we started doing my little tiny stupid radio shows back 1,000 years ago, and you're just my hero as a comedian, as a gay woman, you're fucking fearless. Like, I look back, Rosie, and that segment on the View, you called Donald Trump before anybody else did. And that's what fucking infuriated him, right?
It infuriated him, I think, that it was me too, that it was a gay woman who he doesn't feel is up to his standards of what women should be like, you know? And I think that he was shocked and kind of insane about what I said. But basically what I said were just facts. Facts that were easily Googleable back in the 2007 when I did it. And he's never kind of given up the ghost since then.
Rosie, for people that forget, what exactly was it? Because you think, wow, if only journalists had the kind of courage you had back then, as you said, to just bam, 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 facts. What was it? What was the crux of what you said exactly?
Well, there was a young girl, Tara O'Connor, who was Miss Universe, and she was caught in the village kissing a girl. So as the gay woman, number one, I felt like, well, you're going to give her a confession in Catholic Church, right? You're going to give her penance to do, and you're going to decide what the penance is. And so he held a press conference right before The View was on and saying that he forgives her and everyone deserves a second chance. And she knows she's got to straighten up this way. And so I said, you know, who is he to be the arbiter of behavior? This man who's been, you know, divorced this many times and has all these affairs. And, you know, and I just listed all the things: that he didn't make his own money, he's not a self-made man, that he's like the guy who used to come in, you know, Little House on the Prairie and sell that, you know, pretend juice that's going to make you live forever. Well, Pa, I think that man's a dirty criminal. That's right, Half Pint. He's not a good man at all. So that was the gist of it. And
it was
honestly,
the guy selling snake oil with 100% more snake.
Exactly right. And, you know, then he went crazy. And now here we are.
Were you bullied as a kid, Rosie? Did it? Did it trigger shit in you? I mean, because you were the first person he really targeted to bully.
Yeah, I was not bullied as a kid. I was very kind of popular in school. I was like the homecoming queen and the senior class president and in all the plays and in all the sports. So I wasn't really bullied in school. Howard Stern and Donald Trump have the two people that bullied me the most in my life. And Howard, yeah, I'm actually friends with now. And Trump, I still think, is the Antichrist and needs to be in prison for the rest of his breathing years.
Do you think that's going to happen? That's what I couldn't wait to ask you. And B, do you still have PTSD? Well, he's still out. I mean, I just, every time I get a phone alert, I'm like, oh, fuck, what did he, oh, God, he's still doing shit we're finding out about, right?
Well, I will say the amount of relief I feel since November 7th has been humongous. There was sort of also a depressing part of it after that. Like, when we realized he was out and Biden was in and we were gonna not fall off the precipice of the cliff where, you know, we're gonna do it, we're gonna get through, democracy was saved. And then there just came this horrible, like, look what he did to America. You know, this overwhelming feeling of what, who let him get away with what for so long, and how did we allow this to happen? And it devastated me. I got into a real funk for a couple months.
And is he going to continue to? That's the question. I mean, maybe I'm too happy clappy, Rosie. I just feel like karma is going to catch up with this motherfucker. Between you tweeted about Alan Weisselberg and the New York case, and we got the Georgia cases and the Capitol riots. I can't believe that he is going to get away with all of it. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to get away with it. I think with, you know, Michael Cohen giving them all of this stuff that they need, and Letitia James, I don't think she plays. I think she's going to be, you know, coming down on him and coming down hard. And once those indictments are unsealed, he's going to be in big trouble. And no one's above the law in America. And we're going to have a chance to see that here with Donald Trump.
Tell me about visiting Michael Cohen in prison. And what were you helping him with, his book? Or you got to tell me that story.
No, I didn't help him with a book. I was sitting home on the day he got impeached, Trump. And I was thinking about Michael Cohen, who sounds and looks like everyone I went to high school with. He grew up two towns over from me. He's my age. I knew that all the stuff that Trump did about me being horrible and disgusting and fat and gross and was all Michael Cohen. I knew it was, because I didn't think Donald was sitting there witty enough to make all the, it was Michael Cohen who did all the stuff with them. And so I was thinking, imagine that he's the one who gets put in jail, not the guy who planned all the crimes and told him what to do, but he's in jail. So I wrote him a little letter. I said, you know, I'm watching him be impeached and I'm thinking about you. And if, I'm so happy that you turned yourself around and you are on the right side of history. And I'm proud of you for doing that. And if, you know, you ever worried that I would feel angry at you for what all the taunting that came from Trump, I said, know that I forgive you. And I'm happy that you are doing what you're doing now, and good luck to you. And then I put a picture of me and my 8-year-old in there so he would know it was me. And then he started writing me. I didn't know that they had internet at the prison, and he started emailing me back and forth, and we started talking about growing up on Long Island, about his family, about, you know. And then he asked me after a couple months to come visit him, and he's only the second person to ask me to visit him in jail. The first was Martha Stewart, and I visited her too. And
so that's your thing now.
Well, I got two for two. And I said to Martha, I remember saying to her, "What do you miss the most?" And you know what she said? The flavor of lemon. That's what she said, Stephanie. She said the flavor of lemon, not her kids or her dogs, the flavor of lemon. Yeah, it was too. I said I would have smuggled one up my hoo-ha if you would have told me, you know. But I went to the prison. I went to the prison to see Michael, and we sat there for 6-7 hours talking. All the other people in the prison and the wives who come to see them and the infant children and the toddlers, like, and that is a really trippy world. After I went to see Martha, I wanted to really invest in doing prison reform, because what happens in prison is such a horrible situation. I mean, you know, they make them work for no money, and then they have to go to the store that's in the prison, and you see boots that you bought for $50 with a $16.99 price tag on them, Martha was telling me, right?
Yeah.
How horrible it was for her. But, you know, it was interesting. Yeah.
Mark, the flavor of lemon. Losing the touch of lemon.
Right.
Will you visit Trump in prison just to, you know, taunt him? I don't know.
I don't think he would ask, but no, I would not visit him. You know, the real thing about Donald Trump and I, and people find this hard to believe, is we've never really spoken to each other.
Yeah.
was at a Celebrity Survivor where I was the host, and he was there because he was going to do The Apprentice with Mark Burnett, and he wanted to see, and I kissed him hello. And, you know, in that celebrity vernacular kiss, like, you know, and that's it. That's the only time I've ever spoken to the man. So people who think we've had this, you know, back and forth tweeting or texting, or I don't even know the fucking guy, you know, he's just some asshole that I came across and happened to, you know, tell the truth about. And look what happened. He became president. I mean,
how did that feel to be, oh my God, I'll never forget. I'm sure you won't either. That moment in the debate when he's, you know, Megyn Kelly calls him on all the things he's called women. And he's like, only Rosie O'Donnell. As if that's okay. It's okay.
Exactly.
You know, first of all, that was a lie. Oh, but you're
only Rosie O'Donnell was a lie. Exactly. But what he was saying, you know, was so unbelievable that he would and get away with it. And the worst part for me was how the crowd laughed, how he like has taken everything about me and made it into some sort of tauntingly bad, like he's tried to change what people think about me. And to a lot of degree, he succeeded, you know, to the Trumpers, for sure. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are pretty beloved, my friend, but I think that the country is so divided. You're right. It's like, you just become a punching bag because you're just like fill in, you know, you and Kathy Griffin and, you know, fill in left liberal here, you know, and like, we're not humans. Right.
Right. Yeah. And you know, what they did to her was pretty awful as well. And, you know, but he's a horrible man. He's just a horrible man, and he's guilty of so much that if he doesn't go to prison, it will be such a sin, such a shanda. The whole country will be.
I know. I'm actually thinking ahead to when he goes to prison and the, you know, what pay-per-view you and Kathy and I are going to do. We'll talk about that later. It's a business thing. first of all, you're a mom of a daughter. Oh my God, Matt Gaetz. Like, oh my God, this has become the party of Donald Trump. They're all pedophiles and conspiracy theorists and liars. And I mean, but this is like all of it combined, Matt Gaetz. I'm like, okay, I don't have kids like you do, but I'm almost certain my 17-year-old daughter, it's not okay to go fuck a congressman in a different state for money. I mean,
I'm pretty sure that's
17-year-old, 17-year-old woman. It's not a woman, right?
Right. It's not a woman. Right. Exactly. But it's horrifying. And, you know, it's funny because all the Trumpers have this whole thing that there's a Democratic sexual pedophile ring. Well, no, it's the Republicans, first of all. If you want to pick a group that's doing that, look at the history and look at the facts. It's Republicans. And, you know, Matt Gaetz is the worst kind of. And now how about that boy that he said he adopted that he didn't even really adopt? Nestor. That's his ex-girlfriend's brother. And he happened to adopt him, or he just lives with him. And then I don't know. The whole thing smells hinky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you believe this whole QAnon thing? You're like, wait, Donald Trump in this scenario is the hero that's going to stop the pedophiles? He's fucking hanging out in Jeffrey Epstein's house. He's friends with Matt Gaetz.
Exactly.
Are you friends with that?
Right. He's got 28 charges of sexual assault on him. This is the guy that everyone thinks is the hero. It's absolutely absurd. It's like, we are definitely living in two realities in this country. And, you know, you go on TikTok and you hear people talking about what they believe in. It's absolutely astonishing. There was one woman on there who used to be QAnon, and then she got out of QAnon and was talking about what happens when you're in it. Now, it turns out she had to go off TikTok because she had such a hard time figuring out what was real and what wasn't after she was sort of indoctrinated and in it for so long. It's like, we need all these cult exit experts, you know, to come in and help these people get out of this cult of lies and destruction.
Do you think we're going to get people out of the Trump cult eventually?
I think when he goes to jail, it's going to be a big start, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And all these, you make a good point. All these women lawsuits he's open to now, you know, he doesn't have the protection of the privacy on all these sexual assault charges and rape. Right. E. Jean Carroll.
Exactly.
Summer Zervos. Yeah. Right. I just feel like he has a lifetime of karma coming.
Right. And I thought for sure he wasn't going to survive. you know, I thought he was, it was going to take him out. He was going to have a heart attack, you know, something, that he was going to succumb to the pressure and the insanity. But he's like a feral ape, you know, you can't control him, and he goes around doing whatever he wants, and everyone's afraid of him. And, you know, he's a feral ape.
Yeah. I said he's like the monster in Young Frankenstein. It's like, you're a fucking monster, man. You created him. You figure out what to do now, you know.
But in the media, you know, the mainstream media is so responsible. All those things that I said in 2007, those things were all factual, real, and provable, documented back then. And yet here they are putting him against Hillary Clinton, claiming that it's, you know, there's some sort of equal footing that they're on. Like, all you had to do was Google the facts about Donald Trump, and you would know there's no way that he is able to be the president or qualified or mentally stable enough. I mean, the guy is a DSMR gone mad.
Yes. I agree with someone on Twitter the other day. You just I just can't even believe this fucking guy was president for even one day. I mean, I don't believe he was legitimately elected in the first place, but, you know,
I don't either. Reality winner. Do you know about the reality winner? That's that young girl who's in jail.
Yes. Who should be out of jail.
She took the one piece of proof that she had, that they had hacked the elections, and she sent it out, and she's been in jail ever since. But the fact is that she alerted us to what they were doing. When everybody was like, were they doing it? Did Russia really interfere? Yes, they actually did. And she proved it to us by showing us this piece of paper. And, you know, I talked to her mom a lot, and it's very tragic what they've done to her, and what Lindsey Graham and, you know, all those corrupt DOJ people did, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope you're absolutely right. I hope that she gets pardoned. But I mean, I have to ask, though, is there some level of what's the word? He's so pathetic now. Yes, Schadenfreude. But isn't there something, he's so pathetic now, like as a, you know, Emmy winning top comedian for years and years. How he's working weddings, Rosie. He's working weddings. He's crashing weddings. He's trying to put out.
I know, it's so sad.
He's off Twitter. He's so pathetic now, isn't he?
He is, really. He is a pathetic. He's back to what he was before he was president, without any of the shine and luster that comes with the presidency. It's like it didn't stick to him. He didn't do it. He did nothing while he was in there. He did not protect the country. He did not swear an oath to the Constitution that he upheld. It was just a show for him. It was like a 4-year run on a reality show.
You can tell Biden's success is driving him fucking insane. Biden's approval rating on COVID in general. I mean, it's driving him fucking nutty. I mean, he's just, okay. Anyway, first of all, this is the first time I've put makeup on and done hair in like a year in COVID lockdown. I still don't have pants on, but there were two things that I think gave me a little orgasm. One, you're in LA, and two, you're going to be shooting L Word. This is exciting.
Yes, I've done a few episodes. I'm doing another one this week. And, you know, it's funny, when the show came out, you know, it was such 20 years ago. It was a different time. It was so scandalous. I remember I would watch it and be like, oh, my God, what are they doing? You know, what are they showing? And it's wonderful to be on it now. And I've always thought it was groundbreaking, and it helped so many people in a lot of ways. And so 4 of the original women are still on the show. And then they have a cast of younger women as well. And they kind of intermingle. So I'm with the cast of the older women. You know, I'm like Angela Lansbury on the set now, Stephanie. Everybody's like, do you need some help to your chair, Miss O'Donnell? I'm like, no, I'm okay. Thank you. You know, can I get you some water? And I can walk to craft service. Thank you.
I'm still ambulatory, you fuck. I'm in my 50s.
I'm almost 60.
I know, me too. We're the same age.
When you think of 60, you think of like Vivian Vance and Shirley Booth and, you know, Seda Thompson from Family. Like, that's what I think of. I am now that. I don't know how it happened, but we got up there. We're the ones now that are those people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be glad when this goddamn Zoom thing is over and I can, you know, koala on you and touch you again.
Exactly.
It's been a lot.
And it's too, like, I have an 8-year-old, and boy, it has really affected her. We spent the last 2 weeks in Laguna Beach at a hotel there for her spring break. And she would just run up to any kid her height and just the whole day spend it with the kid. I was like, where is she? She's sitting on the blanket with that kid's family, drinking their apple juice and, you know, having Fritos.
I'm single in lockdown. I don't know if you're still single, but I'm single in lockdown.
Yes, I'm single in lockdown.
All right, let's go have a pussy riot when this is over, Rosie O'Donnell. Let's do it. You and
we
me.
We definitely
let's
should. Fall. You and me. We're in.
Rosie, thank you so much for doing this. We have seriously been trying to make this happen for 10 years. You remain my hero. Just thanks so much for
Thank you, Steph. That's so nice of you. I've always admired everything you've done and how quickly you are able to eviscerate these horrific politicians with your quick-witted, articulate verses.
Now, I know Rosie O'Donnell. I came up with Rosie. I am no Rosie O'Donnell, but, you know, I do the best I can. Rosie, you're the best.
Thank you, Steph. You. Thank you. And the makeup looks great.
Sexy Liberal Nation salutes you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.